Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
Prepare.
the beating in the spirit. I'm pressing in the spirit, preparing me for greater.
Look out, world. Here comes my healer, my deliverer, my redeemer, my way maker, my breakthrough, my way out, my greater is coming. Good evening and praise the Lord to the Light of Portland family. This is Pastor Kimberly Black, and I am your host for tonight's evening of worship. It is my honor, it is my privilege, it is my pleasure to come and sit with you at the dining room table, to chill with you on the couch, or to recline with you as you lean back at the bedside Baptist. Amen. Wherever you are, maybe you're at work, maybe you're riding in your car this evening, you have chosen to tune in to the Light of Portland broadcast, and I am so glad you did. We have a great treat in store for you tonight. The Word of God is coming forth. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer. We're going to have a song of praise and of worship, and we're just going to enjoy the presence of the Lord. I bring you greetings from the Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church here in the City of Roses. That's right, Portland, Oregon, where God is doing great things in our midst. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man what God has in store for us. As Jakira was saying, my greater is coming. I dare you to holler, my greater is coming. You got to speak it into the atmosphere. You got to declare it and decree it that my greater is coming. We want to give honor to those that made it possible for us to have this platform to share with you every Sunday. We thank God for the Butterfields. We thank God for what He has placed in their hands as an assignment to make sure that Blog Talk is being made available for us to come and share with you the Word of God. They have a show on Blog Talk on the evening time, and then they share this spot with other different ministers and other ministries. And so when you just stop and think about it, all you have to do is dial this number and it gets you to the Blog Talk family. And so there's plenty of shows going on. You can also go to the website for Blog Talk. You can also go back and hear any of our services because they have been our worship experiences, excuse me, because they have been recorded. So you can go back at any time. Just go to blogtalk.com and you can hear any of our services, our worship experiences on this network. Amen. We want to honor Pastor Sherelle Pennington, our sister and our co-laborer in the gospel. We just thank God for her and all that God has blessed her to do and to share, not only with those right there in Georgia, but right here in the city of Portland. The fruits of your labors, my sister, they're still going forward. Amen. And we're just so excited about what God is doing in your life during this season. We also want to honor our own Elder Dante Farmer and Elder Kathy Miniweather. Amen. They are extensions of Greater St. Stephen's Mission Baptist Church. They work with us side by side to advance the kingdom of God. And we truly thank God for them. Elder Miniweather has the Sweet Home Ministry, and we thank God for her work that she is doing in the kingdom. And we're excited about what God is doing. We also want to thank God for Archbishop Ruth Smith. Amen. She is our covering for the Blog Talk community. And we thank God for Mother's prayers and for her wisdom and her knowledge that she speaks over us and speak into us. We just truly thank God for her and all that God has put on her hands. Amen. We are just so excited about tonight. I thank God that our guest tonight, she's not a guest, she's not a stranger to the Blog Talk family. She is our friend and our sister, Elder Catherine Brown. She is a member of the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, where my friend and my brother, Pastor Craig L. Brown, serves as the senior servant. And we're just truly honored that Elder Brown will be sharing the word with us tonight. And tonight, taking us to the throne of grace is the intercessor leader for the Greater St. Stephen's Mission Baptist Church. She also serves as our women's ministry leader. Our own sister, Janetta Bradley, will be taking us to the throne of grace tonight. So I told you, you are in for a treat. You need to call somebody. You need to text somebody and tell them, dial in to Blog Talk tonight. Dial in to the Light of Portland because it's about to go down. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I do have some announcements I want to share with you. For those of you that are in the greater Portland area, the metropolitan area, there are some things getting ready to happen in our city next week, Wednesday, October the 7th through the 9th. The General Baptist Convention of the Pacific Northwest will be hosting their Fall Mission Summit right here in the City of Roses. And we are just truly looking forward to having a hallelujah good time with our president, Bishop Gary L. Tyson. We will be meeting at the Courtyard Portland Convention Center, which is located at 435 Northeast Wasco Street. That's Portland, Oregon, 97232. Also want to remind you that all of these worship experiences will be virtual. So you can join the General Baptist Convention Facebook page and get plugged in. You don't have to miss a beat. There's day sessions, and then there are evening sessions. Wednesday night, the man of the hour will be Pastor James Watkins from the New Hope Baptist Church of Spokane, Washington. And then on Thursday night at 7 p.m., Dr. Wayne Jenkins, pastor of the New Hope Baptist Church from Pasco, Washington. And then Friday night, the closeout, our very own president, Bishop Gary L. Tyson, pastor of the Goodwill Baptist Church, will be preaching, giving us a word from the Lord. He has declared and decreed that this will be an unconventional convention, and we are excited about what the Lord is getting ready to do in the Pacific Northwest through the General Baptist Convention of the Northwest. And so we want you to know that next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you can catch us on Facebook at go to the General Baptist Convention Northwest. and you can join us for worship. On Saturday, October the 10th, there will be a free Oregon Records Expungement Clinic at the Peninsula Crossing Trail, which is located in North Portland on North Lombard. If you have anything on your Oregon record and you need to get it expunged, or you know someone that needs to get something expunged, they will be doing a free clinic on Saturday, October the 10th, from 1 to 4 at the Peninsula Crossing Trail. For more information, please reach out to me so that I can, and I'll give you my contact information at the end of the announcement. But that is Saturday, October the 10th from 1 to 4. Also, the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church will be hosting a voting information session on Tuesday, October 13th at 6 o'clock p.m., which will be a Zoom call. If you are interested, you can contact me to get more information. But this is Tuesday, October 13th. We will be on Zoom with the St. Paul Church family during a voting information session, which will begin at 6 o'clock p.m. on Zoom. We know that the Bible says, in all of thy getting, get an understanding. We dare not go to the polls and be ignorant about what it is we are to be voting for. So let's get the information, let's get the knowledge, and let's go to the polls. Let's vote. The family and I were just sitting here watching the Black-ish special, and they spent the whole hour talking about voting and the rights that America said that we as African-Americans have. Well, when they showed the history, we didn't have no rights. We don't have no rights. That's why it's important that we get out and vote and we make our voice heard. Time to be the change. Amen. Also want to invite you. St. Paul is busy. Yes, yes, yes. I love it. Their Thrive Ministry will be sponsoring a vegan soul food cooking demonstration on Saturday, October the 17th at 3 o'clock p.m. Well, you say, Pastor Black, how do I get to be a part of this, because I want to change the way that I've been cooking, change the way that I've been eating? Facebook, St. Paul's Facebook page. You can go to St. Paul's Facebook page on Saturday, October 17th at 3 o'clock to see the vegan soul food cooking demonstration. Amen. Also, want to let you know that October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Tonight and every Sunday, we want to salute the men and women of God who are thriving, who are pressing toward, amen, and living and living, being survivors with breast cancer. We truly honor God for being a healer, being a deliverer, and so we will be saluting all of our breast cancer survivors. And you're going to get to hear from some people this month, amen, to share their testimony on how God healed them, how God delivered them, and how God is working it out, amen, in their lives. We also want you to know that October is National Domestic Violence Awareness. We know that since we have been quarantined during the pandemic, we've been in this shelter, stay at home to save lives. And for some people, staying at home is not really a saving their lives. Some children, some women, some men are verbally, physically, and sexually abused by people that live in the home with them. When they could go to school, when they could go to work, when they could go to the gym, when they could go and just hang out at Starbucks and sit up at Popeyes just to get away from their abuser, they no longer can do that. And since March 2020, the numbers for domestic violence, those numbers have increased. The domestic violence hotline is more busier. Suicide hotline is more busier.
since March of 2020. And so I am asking the body of Christ to please pray for families and people that live with their abuser. Amen. We definitely want to keep them, those families, those men, those women, those children lifted up in prayer. Also, March is National Clergy Appreciation Month. That's right. I hope and pray that you will do something nice for those that pray for you and stay up late to hear a word from the Lord just for all of us. Amen. It's Clergy Appreciation Month. You can send a card. You can send a nice text message. You can buy them their favorite cologne or perfume, or get them a gift card for their favorite restaurant. Maybe you don't know what their favorite restaurant is. Grubhub has gift cards, y'all. Amen. So whatever it is, let's just pour out love and blessings upon the men and women of God that labor with the gospel on our behalf for the month of October. So show some love to your clergymen and women. Well, my brothers and sisters, those are our announcements for this Sunday. It's time for us to go to God in prayer. It's time for us to seek heaven for a word. Amen. We're going to hear this song that's going to prepare our hearts and minds. Following this song, we will yield this call over to Sister Janetta Bradley to lead us in prayer. After prayer, the call will be turned over to Elder Catherine Brown for a word. Amen. Prepare your hearts and minds now to enter into the presence of the Lord.
Feel me, oh God. Father God, most holy and gracious Father, opportunity to come before the throne of grace and prayer, calling up on your holy name. No other name as sweet as the name of Jesus. Father God, you're a great God, an awesome God. Father God, we come because we love you and we need you, Father God. Father God, we just come thank you for today's journey that has brought us thus far. Father God, we thank you for another day in your presence that we were able to call upon your holy name, a day that we were able to pray, Father God, to give you our honor and our praise. You're so worthy to be praised, Father, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the very same. Father God, we just come confessing that we have fallen short of your glory. We acting right now, Father God, that anything that's in us that's not of you, Father God, that you remove it, Father God. Remove all unrighteousness from us, Father God. Create a pure heart within us, Father, because, Father, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit any longer. We want to live according to your will and your purpose for us, Father. So, Father, we calling on your name, Father God. Oh, Father God, you're great God. Father God, I'm praying this evening, Father God, and we come thanking you, Father God. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that's covering us. We come thanking you for Jesus interceding on our behalf. We come thanking you for your mercy that's new each morning. We come thanking you for all you have done for us. And Father God, we come thanking you for everything that you're going to do. Father God, you're great God. Father God, I pray that we, your people, truly walk in the fruit of the Spirit to have that love for each other. That agape love, Father God, to have joy even in the midst of sorrow, to have peace and long suffering, Father God, gentleness and goodness and faith, Father God. So tonight, Father God, we are praying for a strong faith and not a wavering faith, Father. Father, meekness and temperance, Father God, because we know against such thing there is no law. Oh, Father God, I pray that we, your people that believe and trust in you, Father God, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand the evil days, Father God, because evil days are upon us. Oh, Father God, dark days are upon us, Father God, to put on the belt of truth, Father God, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of peace, Father God, the shield of faith. We need the shield of faith so those fiery darts won't penetrate, Father God, because we know the enemy is busy. He's going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. So I pray that we, your people, be on guard, be good watchmen, watching our souls, Father God, that we put on the helmet of salvation, Father, and the sword of the Spirit, which is your holy word, that we stay in your word, Father God, that we come to know your word, so when the enemy attacks us, Father, we'll be able to use your word. We'll be able to do like Jesus did, Father God, when he was in the desert. He would always say, it is written. In order for us to say it is written, we must know the word of God. So help us to stay in your word. Help us get a good understanding of your word. Help us to apply your word, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I pray that we, your people that believe and trust in you, live according to Micah 6:8, that we do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our heavenly Father. Oh, what a great God you are, that we hide your word within our hearts, Father, that we won't sin against thee, Father God, that we use your word, Father God, when the enemy comes to attack us, and when we're going through the storms of life, we know your holy word will help bring us through, and as we're going through, we know you're right there beside us, Father, because, Father, you never left us. But we did leave you for a season. And Father God, as we go through, we know your rod and your staff, they comfort us. And we say thank you, Father God. Father God, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we no longer have to walk in darkness, but in the marvelous light. But we continue to cry out for the children that's no longer yours, that's walking in darkness, as dead men walking. We pray for them, Father God. We lifting them up continually. In prayer, we pray according to your holy word that they find no peace without you, Father God. They begin to cry out, what must we do to be saved in the name of Jesus? Oh, Father, we know you are the only answer for this world today, Father God. I pray right now, Father God, that we, your believers, truly humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our sinful ways, Father God, because, Father, we want you to hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal the land. Oh, Father God, the land is in such need of a healing, Father God. Father God, we pray right now, Father God, that we could be in this world but not of the world, Father God, that we continue to say no to the world, to the flesh, and to the devil, Father God. Father God, we pray that we, your people, be still and know that you are God and that you're still in control of everything, that we don't have to worry. We don't have to be anxious for nothing, Father God. All we have to do is put our hope and trust in you, Father God. Everything will be all right if we keep our hands in your unchanging hands. Oh, Father God, what a great God you are. Father, because of your grace and your mercy, you have kept us, Father God. And Father God, we say thank you. We thank you, Father God, for all you have done and all you're going to do. Oh, Father God, we pray that our light shine bright in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, Father God, that someone may see and come to know you in the pardon of their sin, Father God. Father God, we pray continuously for this nation, for all the leaders, Father God. Oh, Father God, for everyone that has authority over your people, we lifting them up to you in prayer. Father God, in your word, you say, blessed is a nation whose God is Lord. Father God, we know you as the Lord of this nation. You are the king of this universe, Father God. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you for everything you have done for us, Father God. And we thank you right now for everything you're going to do. And we'll forever to give you all the honor and all the praise, Father, because it all belongs to you. And Father God, we will continue to look towards the hills from which come our help. For our help come from you, our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God. Father God, we cannot begin to thank you enough for all you've done for us and all you're going to do. What a mighty God you are. Father God, we love you with everlasting love. Father God, we cry out to you. Oh, Father God, we're calling up on you. Oh, Father God, you are the great healer. You are our Savior, and we love you, Father God, and we give you all honor and all praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Good evening, everyone in the listening on this evening. I just want to stop by for a moment and just shout hallelujah, because that prayer and these songs of worship have encouraged my spirit even more. I am absolutely thankful to know that the saints of God are worshiping God from sun up to sundown and hearing that word go forth. And so with God's help tonight, Father God, I'm just asking you to help me declare the word that you have given me, oh God, for this season. We know, God, that your word is blessed, oh God. So we pray, God, that a fresh revelation will come forth, oh God, out of your word on tonight. All this I'm asking in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus, our King. Amen. And Pastor Black, thank you so much to you and Pastor Sherelle in her absence as you're standing and holding court. We thank God for all of those that you've already acknowledged. Also want to take a moment to acknowledge my pastor, Pastor Craig L. Brown. I thank God for putting me in a place where the word of God not only is going forth with power and teaching and preaching, but where also we are able to preach and practice so that we can fulfill the call that is on our life. And so I'm going to get right with it tonight. I'm going to be coming from the book of Matthew, from the Gospel of Matthew tonight. I'm going to read from chapter 5. From the Beatitudes. And the scripture that I'm reading is coming from the English Standard Version. I'm just going to read verse 6 because that's what we're going to focus on tonight. Amen. And it reads, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Amen. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And I don't know about everybody out there tonight, but I do know one thing for sure, that with everything that's swirling around in the earth realm today, that my soul is satisfied in the Lord. And I pray that as we walk in this earth and live in this earth, that everybody who calls himself a child of God recognizes that our satisfaction is guaranteed when we place our hope in the Lord. If I had a title
for this message tonight. I probably would have called it satisfaction guaranteed. Amen. Satisfaction guaranteed. Because as we consider what this is tucked in the middle of these first 12 verses of the Sermon on the Mount, verse 6 sums it up in totality, the entire gospel, the entire good news of the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ reminds us that where we find ourselves at in this season, in the midst of all that's going on, that we are blessed if we are those that are found hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for God has promised that we will be satisfied. Amen. I want to just set the stage with a little bit of background. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that's recorded in Matthew chapters 5 through 7 actually begins with the Beatitudes. It's a list of blessings that describe the inner character of those who are true servants of God and the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is teaching in this section in chapter 5 was part of an intensive discipleship training for the 12 chosen apostles. The Beatitudes provide us with solid truth for living as God's children and disciples of Christ. And I want to note that each Beatitude can stand on its own, which is why the Lord told me just to pluck out verse 6 in the middle of these Beatitudes. But they all together are not just a collection of unrelated statements. They are each linked together in an unbroken chain, one building on the previous chain of the truth set before it. In the study, I learned that the first several Beatitudes deal with the condition of the heart, church. The second set pertains to our relationship with the Lord, and the final grouping addresses our relationship with one another. I am thinking as we consider all the things that are going on in the world, that many people, having been experiencing these pandemic conditions since February, and after the pandemic, some of the people who are on this phone may have experienced tornadoes that I know some of my friends experienced in Nashville, Tennessee, or maybe it's hurricanes, or maybe it's the storms that blew through Portland, Oregon, the beautiful Rose City, or maybe it was the wildfires. But whatever it is, we have found ourselves in a situation where people who have had their hope and their confidence placed in other things have found that they might see or feel tonight that they're not satisfied. Has there ever been a time when you feel that you've been truly satisfied? I thought about it in the context of not the pandemic and everything else whirling around, but what is it that satisfies you? Is it a great meal? Maybe it's a slice of that outstanding sweet potato pie that my daughter Paris makes. That'll satisfy you for a time. It tastes good, but soon you'll be hungry again. Maybe it was that great vacation you took, and you left that place where you're at rested, filled with peace, tan. That'll last you for a time, but soon you'll feel tired and stressed once again. Maybe it was winning a competition that left you feeling really great time, but soon after you felt the agony of the next defeat. Maybe there's some people on the phone tonight that are my age or older that remember that there was a rock band that was real popular in the 60s called the Rolling Stones, and they had a real popular hit that was titled "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." And isn't it interesting that here we find ourselves 50 years later, and judging from the looks of Mick Jagger and the aging band members, the cost of their continued search for something that would satisfy has been considerable. And when you stop to think about it, it's pretty sad to be known by a song that reveals that all the money, all the women, all the fame, everything that you've enjoyed have brought you absolutely no satisfaction. But don't you know that that's a reality for all of us? There is no satisfaction. No one can satisfy our yearning soul other than the one who created our soul and the yearnings that we have in the first place. So learning to trust in the Lord and to rely on him to provide what we need is the key to finding satisfaction. Praise the Lord. I saw 3 points in verse 6 of the Beatitudes of chapter 5, verse 6. And the first thing I see that I wanted to stop by and remind somebody of tonight, especially in the season that we are in, is to remember that we are blessed. Jesus is teaching and telling us that we are blessed, and we need to recognize that no matter what situation, circumstance, storm, high mountaintop experience, or low valley, that we are blessed. The word blessed in the Beatitudes actually means that we're happy, that we're fortunate, that we are blissful. Here it speaks of more than a surface emotion. Jesus is describing a divinely bestowed sense of well-being. That deep joy fills contentment and that inner state of spiritual well-being that belongs only to the faithful. I hope somebody's listening with you tonight and you can tap them on the shoulder and tell them we're blessed. And I'm so glad that the joy that I have, that the joy that believers have, the world didn't give it to us. And thank God that the world can't take it away. No, the pandemic can't take it away. No, the coronavirus can't take it away. A storm, a wildfire. Yes, there are deaths and dying and fear and all these things that have been unleashed on the heels of these circumstances. But God wants to remind us that that joyous inward condition of a cheerful heart, one that is satisfied in the Lord, is to be held by all who call on the name of Jesus. In the passage tonight, Jesus is drawing from Old Testament passages that describe the condition of the downtrodden and oppressed. He's using language and concepts in the Beatitudes that were very familiar to his predominantly Jewish audience to give Jesus his true faith. Those listening were living under the oppressive rule of the Roman Empire. They were experiencing excessive taxation, denied freedom, and persecution, the same types of political issues that many are bantering about on one side of the aisle or the other, are the conditions that are being debated about what people are experiencing today, just as they were in the time that this passage that Jesus is teaching was set in motion. The servants of God's kingdom desperately needed a heavenly perspective and a hope of an eternal inheritance that only Jesus Christ can provide, and only Jesus presented in the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes demonstrate that the way to heavenly blessedness is contrary to the worldly path, that path that normally followed in the pursuit of happiness. The world thinks that happiness is found in riches and merriment and abundance and leisure and all those things, but Jesus taught that the truth is very opposite. There is a way that, my brothers and sisters, that seems right to a man, but the end of it is the way of destruction. And church, although we're not under the Roman rule, we're clearly living in unprecedented, perilous times. The entire globe is weathering COVID-19. Yes, the disasters, the social injustice, the civil unrest, the inequality, systemic oppression, and the abuse, and a whole host of other isms and murders and violence and hate. And, of course, the presence of sin and evil that's always, but real happiness is always determined by the state of the heart. And Jesus begins with the heart. When he pronounced a blessing on those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus was touching the inner state of every human heart. Back then and now, the fact is we are just as desperate today and in need of Jesus' heavenly perspective and the hope that we have and the confidence of an eternal inheritance, just as Jesus Christ presents it in the Beatitudes. Jesus reminds us that we are blessed and that he has a way of using the hard places, church, that we find ourselves in. He takes hard places and hard times to make people holy. Hallelujah. No matter what comes our way, we who are in Christ Jesus remain blessed nevertheless. Our hearts are of good cheer because we know that Jesus Christ, our King, the Messiah, has overcome the world. Hallelujah. So what does it mean that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness? To thirst and hunger for righteousness is to possess an active spiritual longing or desire for God. I thought about it and prayed about it, and the Lord put on my heart, as a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go, and when can I go and meet with God? This desire is not something that's a passing, fleeting thought. It's a fervent, intense seeking for Jesus Christ. I can hear the psalmist say right now, oh God, you are my God. Thank you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Righteousness speaks of a right relationship with God and with other people. The idea of a right relationship with others forms the link in the chain to the next section of the Beatitudes. While standing, having a right standing with God is a gift of salvation given through faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ to those who believe in him. Those who hunger and thirst for God's righteousness rather than attempting to establish a righteousness of our own, these are the ones who seek God's kingdom and his righteousness before and above everything else. Jeremiah tells us that we indeed will seek God and will find God when we seek him with all our heart. In other words, what we seek will fill us. It will satisfy our hunger and thirst for a right relationship with God. Glory to God. Church, the Lord God on high, yes, hallelujah, doesn't want us to feel that we are hopeless or fear that we are helpless. Hallelujah. He wants us to know that he already paid a high price to set before us a glamorous house. Hallelujah. A mansion that is stored up for us. If we tell the truth, each of us would have to admit that at some point we went searching for love and happiness in all the wrong places. Uh-huh. Or we expected our spouses or other responsibilities to make us happy, only to wake up one day and find ourselves feeling frustrated and dissatisfied. I know I got a witness out there tonight. Even if we had all the things that we could possibly want, material things or people in our life, we would still feel empty. And that's because the quenching that is in the human heart and in the human soul, hallelujah, that quenching is something that God placed in us. He placed it in us. And the more thirsty we become for the things that don't satisfy, the more God is sitting in front of us saying, I'm right here to fill you, to satisfy you. I was asking my granddaughter recently what she wanted for dinner. We were hungry. I think someone out there has felt this before. You're hungry, you're talking and asking, well, what is it you have the taste for? And we couldn't decide what we have the taste for. I know that happens a lot. Have you ever been hungry and craving something, but you just don't know what you're hungry for? Amen. What you can be starving to death for, or worse, you're so hungry that you got hunger pain and felt like you were starving to death. This physical hunger, this craving, this pain that we feel in intense hunger paints a picture of the spiritual hunger that Matthew says is characteristic of those who are blessed. Amen. But Matthew's report is one that intensifies the desire for righteousness with the addition of thirst. Those who thirst for righteousness will receive the water that Jesus offered to the woman at the well. Hallelujah. Those who drink the water, he said in John 4:14, I will give them the water and they will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within us. Hallelujah. We're filled and satisfied, recognizing that God will keep his promise when we seek after him, that he will fill us and satisfy our thirst. And I want to say quickly the next point that I see, and I'm going to wrap this up in the next 5 minutes, if the Lord's Spirit will do it for us. Hallelujah. God will completely satisfy us, and that's a guarantee. There's something about a guarantee. Amen. God says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That could also be paraphrased or said, they will be deeply and joyfully and spiritually made whole. they will have an active relationship with God. And in doing so, he will completely save and satisfy our souls. Hallelujah. When we think about our utter spiritual bankruptcy, it reminds me of a time when I was living in out of the country, and my son Derek had sent me a CD that was real popular back then, written by a song written by Kirk Franklin, and it was "What You Looking For." And some of you might remember that song, but I was in another country. I was by myself. I had no family there, and I was working like a fiend. And bottom line is, I was empty, and I was lonely, and I was lost. And my son sent me that CD, and I'll never forget putting that in my car and playing that. And I could hear that, what I called the psalmist then, ministering, "What you looking for? I'm the one you're looking for. What you searching for? You don't have to search no more." And as that song was ministering to my soul got happy. And I shouted hallelujah, and I shouted and cried out to the Lord, because I knew sitting in this other place, in this other country, in this big job and all this and all that, but all that material stuff couldn't satisfy my soul, my thirsty soul. And when we hear the gospel and acknowledge that we are a sinner in need of a Savior, he'll lead us to the place that only can be satisfied by the provision that Jesus Christ has already made. He has made a way for us to receive satisfaction for our hungry, thirsty souls in the form of his free gift of salvation. Every thirsty, needy soul will feel that craving to come to the Savior and drink and receive that gift. And when we worship him, our cravings are met. And when we serve him, our cravings are met. Who could ever be more faithful and true? Hallelujah. God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. Hallelujah. And as we think about the whole section, these first 12 verses in chapter 5, God guarantees that he'll satisfy us if we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If you're poor in spirit, yours is the kingdom of heaven. If you're mourning right now, you're the one that's going to be comforted. If you are walking meek as the sister prayed, acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with your God, being meek, you shall inherit the earth. If you're hungry and thirsting for righteousness, you will be filled. If you show mercy, you will receive mercy. If your heart has been purged by God, if you're pure in heart, you shall see God. If you are a peacemaker in this land of upheaval, you shall be called the sons of God. If you're feeling persecuted for your faith or standing up for God, standing up for righteousness, standing up for holiness, standing up for telling the truth, cutting it straight, standing up for not selling out, you will be one who inherits the kingdom of heaven. And lastly, we're reminded in Matthew chapter 5, that if we are, verse 11 and 12, blessed are those, are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, Christ is saying. He says, rejoice and be glad. Woo! Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Tonight, my brothers and sisters, we are standing on the foundation of a soul that Christ promises to satisfy. Christ promises that the bread of God that came down from heaven, hallelujah, that gives life to the world, that Jesus, who is the Messiah, who is the King, who is the one who has inherited all of the promises that God tells us about in the Old and the New Testament. Jesus Christ, the one who says he will give us living water and we shall never thirst again. Learning, hallelujah, it's expedient in this season more and more to recognize that the real battle that's being waged in the earth is a battle for souls. It's not Democrat or Republic. It's not black or white. It's heaven and hell, saved or unsaved. souls that are dying, souls that are thirsty, souls that will be satisfied by Jesus Christ. So we got to stand up and walk in this blessedness and let the light of Christ in us shine in this world so that others may be pulled into the kingdom of God, that their souls too may be satisfied. And this is the message God has given me on my heart to share with each of you tonight, that there's satisfaction guaranteed in Christ Jesus. We're blessed, hallelujah. If we're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, Jesus Christ is available and will satisfy that thirst. And not only will he satisfy us, we will be completely satisfied, and that's a guarantee. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Elder Brown. Thank you so much for that awesome, powerful word. Amen. I heard her say we ought not get spiritually bankrupt. Amen. We ought to take Matthew 5 to heart, and we ought to ponder it. We ought to read it and meditate upon it, that we do not get spiritually bankrupt. We've got to have that intimate relationship with God. And then we've got to love one another. We got to love. The Sunday school lesson told us this morning to love and be devoted to each other. Amen. Thank you so much, Elder, for that word on tonight. We were truly blessed. And yes, we know that we cannot get any satisfaction outside of the will of God. I want to encourage you, my brother and sister. I know everybody that's on this call today, you have that intimate relationship with God. You have that walk with God. But maybe you know somebody that's struggling with their walk. Maybe they haven't even accepted the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. Pray for them and share this word with them, that they don't want to get caught up in the battle of race and politics, because the battle, as Elder told us tonight, is over their soul. Will they spend eternity in heaven, or will they spend eternity in hell? It's up to us to be the salt and light in the world and to let this dying world know that our Redeemer is coming, our Savior is coming, our Healer is coming. Until next week, my brothers and sisters, know that we love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Be blessed in the Lord and in the power of his might. Until next week, be blessed.
Will you receive Minister Natasha Cox?